Okay, we are now in our regular session of our board meeting today. We are once again, it's August 12, 2014. We're in the boardroom now. And board members are here as well as our, whatever his name is, Business Administrator Jeff Barbin. I'm so shocked to have someone sitting down there that it's hard for me to remember what your title is, as well as our business or our superintendent, Marshall Garrett. We are so excited to be able to have Corbin White here with us today to talk about Leader in Me. I think the very first conversation we had about Leader in Me was at one of our board meetings. I can't even remember which one it was, but we talked. Maybe it was our USBA Board of Directors meeting back when you were on the board. I think we talked about Leader in Me there then. So, and we know that we have a couple schools that have jumped on board and a couple more coming on, and so we're just excited to have you here, and we're sorry that the confusion of time, but we'll take you as long as we can get you. So,
no problem.
We're going to have you start right now, so go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for accommodating my time. I fly in and out of all the different time zones across the country, and my phone currently doesn't update well. So I was still on Phoenix time, and so my 2 o'clock meeting is at 1, so I really appreciate you accommodating that. I'll be racing from you down to Jordan School District where my board meeting starts 4:30 straight up too. So I'm going to give you some great highlights about what the Leader in Me is and what I do with Franklin Covey. Many of you have seen at different events that I've done about leadership, and basically in a nutshell it would be to communicate a student's working potential to them so clearly that they're inspired to see it within themselves. So for those of you who do not know me, anybody doesn't know me, just James right here, right? You go by Jim or James?
Jim.
Jim?
Well, except
Christy calls him.
Christy calls him.
Everyone
else
calls him. But you understand that.
A quick little snippet about the guy I'm standing before you. I've been married 14 years. I have 2 kids, a 6 and 8-year-old. I'm a Cub Master. I spend time in Disneyland with them. I spend a lot of time at the legislature as the government relations / lobbyist for Franklin Covey. And I serve on the Board of Education in Jordan School District. That's been in the news a lot lately.
Yeah.
So Franklin Covey, everybody know Franklin Covey, the planner people. Well, some people don't know that they are also not just a company that had planners 13 years ago, but we are a business-to-business, and we service 85% of the world's global market on leadership training.
Which is the Covey portion of it.
Which is the Covey portion of it, yeah. And it all stems through Dr. Covey's work of the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Everybody read the 7 Habits?
Lynn and I have been, I've been trained twice in the 7 Habits.
Have been?
I read them myself a long time ago.
Great.
And followed 3 of them.
Well, that worked well. So let's just skip that part and move into what Leader in Me is. Leader in Me is, of course, a main component of that would be the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, but where it comes into play is strategic. When I go in to do this overview for teachers, I ask them to think about someone, you know, their kids, who you just know they're going to be rock stars their whole life. They just get it. It comes natural to them. What are those characteristics those kids possess that you just know they're going to be awesome at whatever they're trying? So do you have one in mind? Self-starter. They just, they make friends easily. All those kinds of
things. They think win-win.
They think win-win. They believe in themselves, all those things. And then if you think of people in your own life that you want to emulate, someone that, you know, has made an impact on you, what were their characteristics? Same kind of things. They were loving. They were, you know, they had some great characteristics like honesty, you know. And so here's be mine, my 4th grade teacher. Mrs. Newland, she looks exactly the same now, although she's retired for 2 years. That was her second year of teaching. And there I am, 40-year-old man in front of you, but right there at 10. I don't know how many guys have a picture of me in 4th grade, but I do.
In a striped shirt?
And this one right here.
Oh, it's the same color you got on
now.
How long hair.
So the point to that and how this picture connects with Leader in Me is that a very personal story, 10 years old,
but is that really you in that yellow shirt?
That's me.
Oh, I thought it was the joke.
And that's my teacher.
What elementary school did you go to?
Meadowlark.
In?
Southern City School. And so the personal story to connect all of this Leader in Me in is that I was not very good at mathematics as a kid. And I struggled with it, and so much so that I had a very, very bad report card. And I could not show it to my mom and dad. Because think of the worst case scenario, and that would have been my life. And so I hid my report card for an entire term until the night before the last day of school. And I couldn't get away from it anymore. I've been lying to my teacher, to my principal, I mean to my parents, in and out of the hospital, practically getting my appendix out, those kinds of things. And so I had to give my report card to my father that night. And it wasn't the beating that I took that night, the crying, the names I was called, the treatment I had, my mom on the phone to my teacher at 10 o'clock that made me feel good about myself. But it was the next day when I was in this very classroom, underneath the flagpole in the back corner, when everyone else was in the gymnasium watching a movie, that my teacher was communicating to me my worth and potential as a person. And I have never forgotten that moment with Mrs. Neway. She changed my life, but not only because she was so fantastic that whole year. I remember many vivid things from that school year. But it was because she identified within me greatness, and she shared it with me. And that's what Leader in Me is about. Teachers identifying that piece of greatness within each child and letting them know that we see it and you have this potential. So we've been friends all through the 90s, as you can see. And then...
Stop crying. Please, that you got beat. I am so sorry.
You know, it happens to a lot of kids, doesn't it?
Death.
Yeah. And it was not a happy day. So, but there's been a lot of happy days since, right? And to illustrate that point here, when the governor signed into law one of my bills for leadership, not only was my wife there and my kids, but right next to me was my fourth grade teacher. How awesome is that?
That is wonderful. Goosebumps.
It is awesome. Teachers spend nearly 80 hours a week, I mean 40 hours a week, but 40 hours a week with these kids. The kids watch them, they emulate them. I still to this day, when I write something down, I put a squiggly line underneath it. That's what she did on the chalkboard. Squiggly line. Kids pick up things, right? So
what year was that?
1980.
1980, when you ran the bill?
Oh, when I ran the bill. It was,
it recently?
SB 122 and SB 131 last year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So SB 131 is the current bill. What's that?
You were in the fourth grade in 1980, right?
I was in the fourth grade in 1980.
Oh.
Yeah. So, leadership. And so I have a little video for you. And this is what I show the teachers too. And this one's just fun, so I'm going to show it to you.
If you've learned a lot about leadership and making a movement, then let's watch a movement happen start to finish in under 3 minutes.
That's not me.
First, of course, a leader needs the guts to stand alone and look ridiculous.
No, it's not me.
But doing something simple is almost instructional.
My personal story is over.
Easy to follow. Now here comes the first follower with a crucial role. He publicly shows everyone else how to follow. Notice how the leader embraces him as an equal. So it's not about the leader anymore. It's about them, plural. Notice how he's calling to his friends to join in. See, it takes guts to be a first follower. You stand out, you brave ridicule yourself. Being a first follower is an underappreciated form of leadership. The first follower transforms a lone nut into a leader. If the leader is the flint, the first follower is the spark that really makes the fire. Now here's the second follower. This is a turning point. It's proof the first has done well. Now it's not a lone nut, and it's not two nuts. Three is a crowd, and a crowd is news. A movement must be public. Make sure outsiders see more than just the leader. Everyone needs to see the followers, because new followers emulate followers, not the leader. Now here come two more people, and three more immediately. Now we've got momentum. This is the tipping point, and now we have a movement. As more people jump in, it's no longer risky. If they were on the fence before, there's no reason not to join in now. They won't stand out, they won't be ridiculed, and they will be part of the in crowd if they hurry. But for the next minute, you'll see the rest who prefer to stay part of the crowd, because eventually they'll be ridiculed for not joining. And ladies and gentlemen, that is of how a movement is made. So let's recap what we've learned. If you are a version of the shirtless dancing guy, all alone, remember the importance of nurturing your first few followers as equals. making everything clearly about the movement, not you. Be public, be easy to follow. But the biggest lesson here, did you catch it? The best way to make a movement, if you really care, is to courageously follow and show others how to follow. When you find a lone nut doing something great, have the guts to be the first person to stand up and join in.
So one guy moved an entire mountain. I don't know what he was. I don't know. But the point is that he was effective in moving all of those people. So nurturing followers is equal. So when we talk to the teachers, it's about them really looking at the kids and seeing these kids as capable of doing a lot of things. Making the end in mind about the movement, not you. It's no longer, focus. You know, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, and I'm going to do that. No, it's the end in mind is at the end of 3 years, you're going to have a transformation in this school. We will have kids with intrinsic motivation. Their test scores and all of their academic performance will be through the roof, and it'll be driven by their self-satisfaction. And then being easy to follow. The best and worst leaders in history have been easy to follow. So teachers. So the me and leader in me, I see some of you have the book there. And I hesitated to bring the book, not because I knew you already had them, but because the brand new second edition comes out on the 15th. And I'm going to send it to you. It's fantastic. Right. So if you haven't spent the time reading this one, I mean, you still can, but wait till you read this next one. It's great.
So what? How is it different?
It talks about...
They added an 8th step. Just kidding.
Yeah.
and Stephen rolls over.
Stephen had a part in it far before.
Okay.
Far before he passed.
I think that it should say all great leaders require Diet Coke and chocolate.
It's got to be there somewhere, right?
Oh, Diet. Okay, Coke. Coke or Diet Coke.
Coke or Diet Coke. There you go. Nice compromise there. So the me part is about the teacher. It's not about the kids. So the first part is teaching the teachers the seven habits of highly effective principles. And then being able to communicate worth and potential is what leadership means, according to Dr. Covey. So for the remainder of the time, because you have schools who are involved in this process, probably need to let you know exactly what they dove into and give you a pretty good clear picture. The way this came about, have any of you read the book? All of you have read it? Okay, so you know the story of Abby Combs. So she went to him, shook her finger, and said, you have a moral imperative to bring this to the kids of the world. They back engineered it. She was facing all kinds of odds. Her superintendent said, we're going to close your school. She reinvented herself, and she gathered these characteristics from her focus groups. Kind of what we talked about at the beginning of our talk today. Teamwork, analytical skills, creativity. Develop missions, develop leaders one child at a time. So it goes a lot through modeling. Everybody, the staff, and your classifieds go through the 3-day seven habit series. And traditions, now you might have a 3K run every year, but now it's called the Sharpen Your Saw Run. You use the language in everything that you do at the school. It's going to catch you up a little bit on the book, but you got to see the kid part. The kid part's good.
Hi, my name is Walter. I'm a leader at Amy Collins Elementary in Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome to a school where everyone is empowered to be a leader.
You can test by school and think you're just an ordinary school.
But the moment you come inside, there's a whole new feeling.
We are a magnet school, and in 1999, we weren't attracting very many students. We had at that time around 350. And our superintendent said that we needed to reinvent ourselves. We needed to come up with a thing that was like none other. We went to our key stakeholders, our business leaders, parents, community leaders, and we said, what is it that you want for this community?
Whether it was the parents or the business leaders, they all wanted students who were responsible, could get along well with others, and deal with the challenges that life brought them.
They wanted their children to give back to others. They wanted them to understand a very strong work ethic.
Our stakeholders, when creating the school, talked about having children and grandchildren that were A students mastering the SAT, and then were not successful in college. Because they didn't know how to work with students, they didn't know how to prioritize, they were only about the academics.
I knew at that moment that schools had to to do things differently. That when we're always focused on the academic piece, and absolutely that is important, but there's so much more than that. We capture their thoughts and ideas in a thing.
The theme of our school is leadership. Our mission is to develop leaders one child at a time. Our mission keeps us focused on what's most important. At our school,
you can be a leader in anything you want.
I am a leader in art.
I'm a leader in music.
I'm a leader in helping others.
I'm a leader in technology.
We are all leaders. At our school, leadership is doing the right thing, even when no one is watching.
From the time we enter kindergarten until the time we graduate, we are told we are leaders because we all have gifts.
I see each child as having something special about them that nobody else has, and I might be the only person in their life that sees that gift in them, and that it's my responsibility to show it to them.
We are developing 21st century citizens. We're giving them a skill set, one that is based on leadership development that will take them through the rest of their lives. When we developed this model, we looked at businesses, successful businesses, and we said, what are they doing to sustain high levels of performance and excellence year after year after year? And at that time, we thought of leadership. We thought of Dr. Covey's 7 Habits.
We always put first things first, first things first, first things first.
I think I was concerned when they said, hey, your kindergartners would be learning these Covey habits. And I, as a manager, had just gone through a training a couple years before and gave the 7 habits of highly effective people. And when I'm thinking, well, how is that for kids? But we watched our kindergartner, our 5-year-old, grow with it. And it was the idea that if you put the expectations on the kids, they can do it.
From the very beginning, we decided we would not water down the language of the 7 habits. We started teaching children in preschool what it meant to be proactive, and they used the word be proactive. They used the word begin with the end in mind. What we found was that the children really did understand this language. Not only did they understand it, they internalized it. And in many cases, the children teach us far more than we teach them.
What is truly unique is how our teachers teach us the leadership skills. The 7 habits at our school is not a one-time lesson. It's part of everything we do.
I can take any book off of my classroom library shelf and analyze and discuss the 7 habits with the students.
In math, we synergize in small groups to solve problems. Working together helps everyone.
The students create these Time Magazine portraits, so not only do they work on their drawing skills of trying to draw a face that actually looks like a face, they also have to think about why they might actually be on the cover of Time Magazine.
In music, we learn songs that remind us about raising expectations and how each one of us is important.
We get us to rest, so we learn how to climb. Watch us climb.
The 7 habits are not all we do to learn leadership skills. We have a number of leadership tools that help us stay on task and achieve our goals.
Each student has their own data notebook, and in their notebook they keep track of their goals as well as their academic progress. What I really like about that is that it really gives the students ownership of their academic progress.
This is my data notebook. My personal goal is to get better at playing the piano. My academic goal is to do better in multiplication.
My personal goal is to learn to tie my shoes. My academic goal is to write 3 stories.
I remember when I was in school, I had no idea my grades until I received my report card. But our students know where they're at in every area throughout the entire school year.
And these are my scores that I got on the quizzes.
In August, I knew up to 24, October 26, 26 in January, 26 in March.
We use a lot of quality tools in teaching leadership. They're the same tools many business leaders use in making decisions.
Community service is also an important part of our school. Each grade level has 2 community service projects a year. Students are asked to come up with the idea, create flowcharts, set goals, and write thank you notes at the end. Students drop every step of the project.
Every outstanding leader knows the social etiquette of greeting. And for different cultures, that's something different. But here, the standard is to shake hands firmly and to have great eye contact.
One thing they really have been stressing are our kids to be leaders in the classroom, to do public speaking, to get up in front of their class and to speak. And so our son Walter, in fact, you know, caught him and watched him practice speeches since he's been in kindergarten. He has gotten up and he has stood in front of 40, 50 adults and was able to make a speech.
Some of you may be wondering why I have appearance that I'm an adult. Comes and power students like me to be leaders and do the best that we can.
We only get one chance to prepare children for a world that none of us can possibly predict. What are we going to do with that one chance?
Really, was the time is powerful, and the preschool age and the kindergarten age, just really taking ownership of it very, very quickly. Within the first 3 weeks, or maybe even within the first lesson, there's been examples of how it's changed things, and then just started the ball rolling. What happened to A.B. Combs in particular was they went from the lowest performing school in the nation to the highest performing school, lowest performing facing closure in their district to the highest performing in the nation within 7 years. And let's see, I'm going to kind of skip through because you know this. They back engineered it, they created the process, it's now giant leaps in academic achievement, huge decreases in disciplinary referrals. Excuse me, come on in.
Hi.
And we now have about 1,650 Leader in Me schools in the United States. We will in 4 years have more outside of the United States than we do on the inside of the United States, including China, Brazil, bringing on hundreds at a time. The Minister of Education in the island of Puerto Rico, every school. So it's making its whole reach. 57 Lighthouse schools in last September, now we're at 113 approximately.
What's the difference?
That means,
you tell me?
Good question. That's good. The Lighthouse school means that you've been in the process for 3 years and you've made that transformation and hit that milestone. And so if I walk in with 144 check boxes of leadership, we could check off 144 ways you have brought leadership into your campus and intrinsically motivated your students and your teachers to achieve greatness. We have a couple in our state. We have one in Jordan, which is East Lake Elementary. We have one which is in Alpine, Mountainville Academy. It's a charter. And then we have our newest one down, well, both came on the same time, but Coral Cliffs down in St. George, Utah. And so I'm actually going to move my family, and we're going to move down to St. George so my kids can attend a Leader in Me school there.
Are you serious?
And, yeah, house is for sale.
I wonder he's not ready for
school
board again.
I'm done with the school board. There's your answer. In December, and we are building a home, and my kids have got to go to the Leader in Me school. It's amazing. When I first met Amy Wilcox, the principal, she says, Corbin, I don't really want to talk about my academics there in the toilet. And I says, okay, it'll happen, though. It's going to come. She had a lot of challenges she was facing with, I shouldn't have said her name, but let's just say staff issues and things like that and all of that. Mm-hmm. So nonetheless, trust was built. And then the next year, I'm talking to her again, and she's like, I don't want to talk about my academics again. But my disciplinary stuff is doing really great. I used to couldn't even get out behind my desk, and now I'm at least walking around doing, you know. This year, when we were at the legislature in February, they were the school we highlighted because, and I'm kind of skipping through because it's perfect timing right now. They not only were proud to show their academic scores high above state standard on the USOE website, Gateway, but also their disciplinary referrals from 2011-2012 were 700. Their disciplinary referrals for 2012-2013 was 40. Unbelievable. And like I say, their academic achievement performance, the kids are empowered. They have all kinds of clubs at this school, and they're just taking it to the next levels of leadership. So definitely a school that is worth peeking at. And we have the same kinds of schools around. We have Vista Elementary down in Granite. We have Terra Linda in Jordan, and we have up here closer to you in Box Elder Discovery in Brigham City. Amazing school. A new one going to start in Tremont, coming on McKinley, and I can see the same kind of things there. What makes these really great schools stand apart that I want to move my family is because they followed the process, they did it, implemented with fidelity, and they went slow to go fast, and they were able to hit all these milestones and see their progress over time. It wasn't all of a sudden another thing for teachers to do. It was baby steps, baby bites to this candy bar, and pretty soon it's like somebody ate my entire candy bar. You know, it's like they just did it without even noticing that, yes, it is another thing to do, but you go slow, you go fast. That's what makes these schools unbelievable when they hit that. That's Core Cliffs. When you walk in, you know exactly what they do, developing great leaders one child at a time. How it works is we bring in all of these pieces that could help our school achieve more. If we had better curriculum, professional development days, more money, accountability, technology, if we had more of that, we probably could do better than what we do, for sure. But we all know our per pupil spending and all those things. There are some great things we can learn from running it like a business, and that is that if we empower others, we can grow leadership. If they learn the seven habits principles, number one, two, and three, which Anne is really familiar with, they're taking responsibility for themselves, they are prioritizing, and they are setting goals. And once you really start learning and living the first two habits, you've got that strong foundation like a tree. That's why our metaphor is a tree. Because if the tree is in the parking strip, you know how the roots go like this, and then all the storms come and the trees, redwood forest, they are interconnected, they work upon each other, stronger, been there for a long time. And then all these other pieces tend to come. I've been at this job now, in this position for 2 years, but prior to that as the consultant lobbyist for Franklin Covey, and I can tell you that every school I walked into, they said, whatever their paradigm was, money or getting teachers on board or whatever it was, once they came to the idea that they were all unified in this idea to bring leadership to their school, money had followed, all these other things. So every school that's ever wanted to do it in America has never been turned away. Every school that had the passion and commitment, resources became available.
Which is how our three, and we have had very generous donations from the Franklin Covey Foundation to assist us in all three. And Corbin, we appreciate your efforts in getting those funds.
Yeah.
You really were very, very instrumental in that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We have a huge end in mind for Utah, obviously, because we live here, right? And the end in mind for Covey would be that we bring people from around the world to our headquarters, and we are able to fly them to a place where they can see a K-12 model of leadership. And there will be that place, hopefully, between Logan and Cache District and St. George. We will have these really amazing places for people to come. We're all over the world. We have world headquarters all over in many countries, but we just happen to live right here in our world headquarters, so to speak. So it's kind of different for us because we're kind of neighbors. It all starts with the paradigm that the kids can achieve so much, and so that's what the teachers are really taught. They understand and figure out that this training is for me. I'm going to make these changes in my life. But you know what? Kids are capable far more than what we give them credit for. They go through the training of going from dependence to independence to interdependence. Has anybody gone through that training and knows what I'm talking about? No? Anne does, but I won't call on you. I'll give you the fast scenario. We're dependent like a baby. We do everything for that baby. Or dependence in adolescence. Where's my piece of pie? Why didn't I get to do that? You always do this because I'm not good because you da 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 da. You know, putting that blame. When you learn the first three habits and you use them every day and you get good at it, you get to independence. Now you got the keys to the car. You got a job. I don't care what you say. I'm independent. And then independence lasts for like a summer. And then you realize you live on planet Earth and you got to work with others, right? That's where the other three habits come into play. Thinking win-win. And seeking first to understand, then to be understood. Real empathic listening and synergy. working with others to make more. And that's when you get to interdependence and creating those strong relationships. And that's what all of our workforce wants. That's what we want for our kids. We want them to create these great interpersonal relationships. And the most important habit is sharpen the saw, taking time for ourselves, self-renewal. How many do that every day? I do.
I was out trimming in my yard, and I thought, I just need to take time to sharpen the cutters, because truly, that I always think of sharpen the saw. And I love that. I'm on Bridger Elementary's email list, and they've named their committees by this. There's the Sharpen the Saw Committee, there's the Be Proactive, there's the Begin with the End of Mind, and that's the name of their committees. And at first I had a hard time figuring out what they were doing, but it's just amazing because they're modeling it for the kids, and now the kids are doing it as well.
And it's the ubiquitous approach. Everything they do.
I'm starting to see differences at Bridger Elementary.
That's really,
Bridger, pardon me for not saying Bridger. Bridger is fantastic. We brought people from around the world to Bridger already to see what they did.
Don't be reactive.
It's amazing.
Make choices and think through the consequences.
Being proactive means taking initiative, which means doing what you know is right.
It means that you're being caring and considering others and taking responsibility of yourself.
Be proactive every day.
I do my homework first before my mother tells me to do my homework.
You don't yell and you don't get all mad.
Well, it means to choose your own mother or care your own mother, like how you're going to act that day. Oh, I'm going to be moody all day, or I'm going to be happy.
I choose to be happy.
Begin with the end in mind. Know what you want and how you're going to achieve it.
Begin with the end in mind means that you should plan what you're going to do before you do it.
Like, if you were to say something to someone, begin with the end in mind. Think how they would feel before you said it.
Begin with the end in mind means that you plan ahead.
Setting targets, good for you.
It means to, like, set goals and work towards them.
First things first, prioritize what you need accomplished. Work before you play.
When I get home immediately, I do my homework, and then I can play all the fun things that I want.
So if you had a big project to do, you need to get it done, and you don't need to dilly-dally.
If I want to play video games, but I have 2 pages of math homework, well, then putting first things first, if I was using that, I would do my math homework first.
Do the big important things first, and the small, a little important things after.
Say you put your sock on before your shoe, that'd be okay. But if you put your shoe on first and then your sock on, your shoe would have a sock over it.
Think win-win. We can both do what we want. Neither of us have to lose.
It means that you're thinking of others too, instead of just this person wins or just this person wins. It's like everybody can win. Everybody has a part.
To share things and let other people play.
You and your partner try to make both sides win.
How can we both be happy?
I see kids all the time have arguments at school, and they usually solve it by the think win-win habit.
People don't think, oh, I'm such a loser, I'm not good at this, and people don't say, oh, I'm going to beat them. People say, oh, we're all great, we're all in this together, we're going to do fine.
Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Listen with your head and heart before you speak.
If the other person is like talking, you first you listen, then after he finishes talking, then you can share your idea.
Sometimes you want to say something to somebody else, like, really making it seem like theirs is wrong, or that your opinion is better, or that you don't think that what they're saying is right or something. It's just really hard sometimes, but you have to be a leader and really hold that back and listen to them and understand them, and then you can tell them.
I use it to listen to my mom whenever she tells me to do things, and I always have to listen so I know what to do.
We're in a soccer game, me and my mom, and there's a mosquito on her back.
And I slapped her back.
And she's like, what'd you do that for? I'm like, there's a mosquito on your back. She's like, I won't fall for that trick. And then I pulled the mosquito off, and I'm like, mosquito. She's like, okay. And then I thought to myself, she needed to understand. Understand why I slapped her on the back before she made her assumption.
You're gracious, right?
Oh yeah, it's so interesting to hear that lecturing each other this way.
Their mindset.
Together, and they get great ideas to help get things finished, like your work, and you have better ideas, and you'll get it done a lot faster.
Work together for best results.
The reason I like Synergize is because it's all working together, and you can make so many new friends by doing it, and you can just work so hard together.
I like to work in groups, and if there's a problem, I can help my friends.
When you're playing tag, it's no fun just playing tag with one person by yourself, because tag, you're on yourself, doesn't really isn't fun.
Tag,
I
think that sounds fun, actually.
Habit
7 is all about keeping your personal skills sharp so that you can better deal with life.
It means after you've done all the habits, you take time to do something that you really like to do.
Shove into salt is my favorite habit because you get to give your brain a rest.
It means like when you're tired, you just came back from a hard work a day, then you can just have fun, relax.
My favorite way to sharpen the saw is reading. My favorite thing to do is cheer.
Running and exercising.
My favorite way to sharpen the saw is to play games with my family.
My favorite thing to do is eat birthday cake.
We love the 7 habits.
So, the kids are internalizing this. The teachers have it everywhere in their classrooms when they're teaching. You know, okay, kids, tell me, what habit did the third little pig use? They use it in all their literature. They somehow infuse it into everything you do in classroom instruction. Then it's reinforced because these kids are going home now and they're using this terminology. And so a principal in Jordan School District, she says to me, from Falcon Ridge, and she says to me, you know, I had this parent come in, and she kind of slammed my door and sat down in my office and said, what have you done to my kid? And Karen was kind of taken back. What do you mean? You know, is she safe? What's going on? What? And she said, she's making her bed. She's doing her homework. And she's using words like proactive. And then the lady started to cry and said, what does proactive mean? And so they started teaching parent night a couple of nights. So it's going into the home now. So, for example, my son, when he was 4, the first time I saw that really hit with my son, I was doing dishes in one part of the home, and I said, Aiden, pick up those things in the front room, take them in your room, make your bed, be proactive, buddy. He picked up a couple things, went down the hallway, 4 years old, and halfway down the hallway, he turned and said, Dad, like, yes, can we synergize? We've been synergizing ever since. And then the first time we really saw it with both of our kids together, we're in the car. I just come home from flying back from wherever I was because I'm out of town a lot. Trying to have a conversation with my wife and my kids. Oh, my gosh. They would just not be quiet. I couldn't even think. I'm right at the point of reactive. Like, Dad's got a 3-arm and I'm just, you just. And I hear this. And it was right at the moment I'm ready to yell, which takes a lot to get me there. My daughter, I hear her say, Aiden, can we make a win-win? And I saw in the rearview mirror my son do this. Yes. And she says, how about I give you my clay and give me your iPad? And then in a few minutes we switch. My 4-year-old son handed the iPad to his sister. On what planet does that happen? It happened in my car. Does it happen every time? No. But it happened. No. And it's better at it, better at it, better at it. And so, you know, they're even out there with their friends, and or even at the park. My son said, well, can't we just make a win-win on this? And the other kid looked at him like, what are you talking about? You know? Kind of time for a little Duran Duran. Sorry about that. And from the 90s.
I don't know who that is.
I did too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now, I want to share one more thing because we have the legislature in common. So I take Representative Notwell to a leadership school, and of course I want his vote. And and we tour the school. He hears teachers say it's not another thing to do, it's just who we are. And all these things, he pulls me aside and says, you know what, I love you, Corp, but I'm not going to vote for your bill. This is a good dog and pony show. It's nice. I mean, it's a nice school. And he's like, but, so I says, one more chance. So I take him out to the foyer of the school. And I John, pick any kid out there on the sidewalk arriving for school that day. He says, that boy. So this boy comes in to the school, and I stop the young man. Excuse me, young man, my name's Corbin White. I'm from the Board of Education. How are you? Holding up my badge. He says, fine, thanks. My name's so-and-so. I attend fourth grade here at East Lake Elementary. Are you two gentlemen lost? Would you like me to direct you to where you need to be? And I know, but I'd like you to meet Representative Notwell. And hope you have a great day, sir. Bye. And tore off down the hall. John's face. Not only did he vote with Bill, but he stood up on the floor of the House and gave a great, you know, long little speech about why he was doing this. Everywhere he went in Jordan School District, they didn't want to talk about dyslexia and all these other issues. However important, they wanted to talk about Peter and me, what was happening and the changes occurring in students and student achievement and like what you say, you know, a real difference in the feel and everything happening and occurring in school, like Bridger's experience. Bridger is embarking on year two. And what makes Bridger, and let's highlight them really quick because they're your wonderful school. What makes them so perfect for this is that their principal didn't just say, oh, you're doing that? I want to do that too. What happened was I was down in St. George at the UASP conference, and he came by the table, and we were talking, and he said, well, what do I have to do? So I outlined some pre-work for Jed. And you got to do a book study, you got to do this, you got to do all these things, you know, and build that buy-in. And it's going to take time. You know, it could take 2 weeks or it could take 10. And anyway, I didn't hear from Jed again. That was in February. And then the whole year goes by, February, March, April, all the way to like, I think it was June, something like that. Yeah, something like that. And I still hadn't heard from him, but a friend of mine happens to be principals from Dana Corpless, and Jed know each other. So they were just talking, and he had done all the pre-work. And he's right. She's like, well, did you talk to Corbin? Well, no, I hadn't talked to him yet.
They even had a leader in me, end of the year
celebration.
They had
everything done.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And so then I'm like, what? So then I get on the phone to him. I'm like, what's going on? He tells me what he's on. I'm like, you did all of that. He's like, yes. Jed, today is the absolute last day you can get the grant. And it wasn't just the absolute last day. It was the absolute last grade. And we were able to share with the foundation the evidence of what they had done to build this funding and support for this idea. And it was 2 days, I think. And he was notified. Of course, I knew in 10 minutes.
Well,
brilliant man, Jay.
But also, their school had... You know, what can we do? Somehow they were kind of termed as the bully school and a few things, and they knew they needed to make a change in their behavior, what they were doing for behavior in the school, their behavior plan.
Yeah.
And he felt like leader in me was the way it was. And so they did their big work. There's a leader in every one of us before they had the grant.
Yeah.
It was amazing the first year. Last year, they marched in behind,
yeah,
behind a bagpiper, and they...
So now he's legit. We've got it, which is good, you know. But greatness there. Same thing has happened with Eric down at Hillcrest. He has done the same kind of work. He has put forth the effort, a lot of effort, and these principals did not just think overnight, I want to do this. They really thought it through, and they really pulled their staffs together to make this a focus. And it's really going to have a tremendous impact on your students, your bullying situations, or any kind of disciplinary issues at the school, and you are going to see student achievement rise.
Mrs. Abbott did highly affected kids. She had done it for 10 years in her classroom. So every second grader that went through her classroom knew those terms, and that's where my grandkids learned it, was in Mrs. Abbott's second grade, because she believed in the highly effective kids. So
Brilliant.
They were using the terms before there was a leader in the
Brilliant.
Program.
Mm-hmm. So probably in Would you like to know, let me just say, some of the key pieces that they put in for pre-work was empowering students, talking about them being leaders. It was also about teaching social etiquette and greeting. Just that simple piece of looking people in the eye, saying please, thank you, and greeting transforms a campus. Leadership notebooks come into play in year two. You'll see that more at Jed's school this school year than you will at Hillcrest. But and that's purposeful because there's a process to this. But he should be able to do completely student-led conferences, and the students should know exactly where they are. Now, could you imagine me as 10 years old with a leadership notebook? I knew exactly where I was, what I had to do to get to this next place, created my own plan, and executed it. I could have had a different outcome for myself. Same kind of thing.
And Wilson is just a little behind Hillcrest, is that correct? They started about March of last year.
Yeah, they've just finished up all of their training, and they are on fire up there for sure. So I don't know to what extent. They had a couple of teachers who were really cooking it up there. But as far as the principal and school-wide, it's, I don't think you can turn the heat up higher. They're starting into this new school year with the perfect scenario to set them up for everything to work well. So they are just a titch behind, not much, but just a titch. And you won't notice by Leadership Day, and let's just say it's going to be in February or March, you won't notice a difference by the time they get there. I can tell you, we'll have breakfasts at the legislature, and your students are going to be coming to the legislature and having breakfast with the Senate and House. And we had every senator in our breakfast last year, unheard of. We had a handful of Republicans, representatives, but this year we plan to do two more. The students will get these opportunities that you don't normally get. And it's not just a person who turns off the light in the school or, you know, someone who's in charge of opening the door, but everything that can be turned into a student opportunity is a job for them, a leadership role. And they take great pride in all those leadership roles. And down in Coral Cliffs and up in Bridger, I don't know to what extent they have it yet, but every kid, even if you have 850 kids, has a leadership role. I wanted to show you. This is the process map that they've gone through. So what first was that pre-work stuff that we talked about. A one school-wide goal, or wildly important goal, which we call WIGS. And that could be just tracking attendance. So the kids track their attendance. That's tracked to the outside of the classroom for their classroom goal. And then that's tracked to the school-wide goal, the overarching scoreboard. And so kids can see how their impact reaches the outcome of the whole school. Because superintendent will tell us what we're going to do, legislature tells us what to do, then he tells the teachers, who tells the kids? Now the kids are empowered with the goal too in mind. And so that contributes to this. So now, year one, the journey they're embarking on for training is they have 3 days of seven habits training, which we've just had all of our principals take.
Elementary or secondary, we're all at different things that
okay,
week.
So all of our elementary schools in your district took part in a 3-day seven habits training.
Yeah,
and got to feel it for themselves. And have there been any comments from that training?
They were very, very appreciative of it.
Yeah, it's going to empower them to be more effective for sure in their daily life. Our principal down south, where I was at a training just last week, he stood up the second day and said, I learned something yesterday. I'm going to be a better person. Not that he wasn't just a phenomenal person before, but it really hits you deep. There's a coach that's involved with the school, and there's two more days of training, one for everybody, which is implementation, how you drive it into school instruction, and then there's one for just the Lighthouse team. That's usually 8 to 10 people who kind of take the 30,000-foot view, kind of like us as board members, and kind of see where we need to lift in leadership throughout our campus. They create set of committees. And these teachers who take the time to do this extra stuff, it's not extra. They volunteer. It's how they sharpen their saw. So if they create a gardening club, that teacher, it's not another thing for her to do because she actually likes to to do the gardening club. So you're using everybody's talents. Year two, one day for everybody, one day for just that little team. The coach again is involved. Year three, the coach is present from Franklin Covey. That's someone that's been in education for a number of years in various stages, been a teacher all the way up, maybe been a superintendent, maybe been a curriculum development person, or all of those things into one person. Our coaches have vast knowledge and experience. And them working with your small teams in the school, they decide if they need more training or where we're going to go, what we're going to do. And then we deem them a lighthouse school. And if you pick out any lighthouse school on our map of Leader in Me, you should be able to go there, take an entourage any day of the week, and see greatness. I mean, any day of the week. Even right now, any day of the week, you could go to Bridger and see a leadership school. It doesn't have to be a special day. Any day you go, this is what's happening. So that's another part of this, is it's not a dog and pony show. It's the way we live our life. It's who we are. It's who we become. The criteria to become a lighthouse is that team. They transform their environment, so you might see them painting things and putting up quotes and empowering students. I see the leader in me. That's Brooklyn from down at Coral Cliffs. This is a school of mine, a fourth grade room in Arizona. These trees start popping up all over the place, our metaphor for growing leadership. Goals clearly written out and kids understanding how it connects. Parent involvement, staff collaboration, more student opportunities here in Utah, just because I'm involved with legislature. We're going to have about 8 opportunities. It's going to be awesome this year. I can't wait. But look at that caucus room. It's all those little kids. And when we had the center convention, I bet you wonder what we do here, right? And he started talking. I had to stop. Excuse me. Sir, these are our leaders. And they would love to tell you about leadership. Why don't you ask them a question? Boom! The whole room changes 50 feet. I mean, just 180 degrees. Well, what do you know about leadership? All those arms just go up and start talking. I think we need this at the Senate. Is what they said.
Especially think win-win.
Think win-win. And so then a lot of our legislators actually went out in schools, and even if they weren't in their district, it was incredible the momentum we had. Our bill passed last year unanimous in the Senate, and 67-1 in the House. And that one has retired. That's really neat. That's about that great.
Was that the bill that allowed for the use of land trust funds for...
So we were able to do that through state rule. And so through state rule, you can use up to 20% or $5,000 of trust land funds towards leadership. You can do it for 3 years if you demonstrate and show that your school improvement plan it's made a difference. The bill that I wrote became a law was the SB 131. It is a $10,000 matching grant. Somehow or another, these principals bring in $1,500 from their technology money, pay for IP and intellectual property license, web community. They bring in $2,000 for books for kids. So now they are accumulating these things from their different funds. They come up with $10,000. They say to the USOE, we have $10,000. Even the Board of Education's given us money, right? Or Education Foundation or whatever. So now they say they qualify for $10,000 grant. So then now they match it. Now they have $20,000. $20,000 starts a school into this process. Over?
Spilled run.
Which one? Miserable?
Well, I was going to say, can we have a win-win and synergize and take care of that and add an A?
I do that on purpose, just to make sure that's right. Well,
good response.
Good. That way I know you're paying attention. Anyway, let's see. Oh. Web community, told you about that, I think, a little bit. It's divided into 4 pieces. Huge resource for teachers. Let's see. I think that's about it. Now, if we have questions for me, they have to do that training. They have to do... That's what these teachers have really embarked upon. They've taken on a lot to do this for themselves, to grow as people. They don't do it lightly. And your support is huge to them.
I have three questions. You ready? You want them all at once? You want them one at a time?
You know me. What do you think? One at a time. Let's go.
Okay, my first one is how, I know with the two schools that we currently have doing Leader in Me, I've had some conversations with staff members who, how do I say this politically correct, who may feel that it's difficult for them to feel the same program being implemented for teachers. If they can see it reaching students, but they don't understand how it can help them as a teacher, specifically in their teaching collaboration among teachers. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So how does the program help them individually as a teacher? Because what we're doing is we want, it's really focused, I understand what you're saying, it's focused on the teacher, and then the teacher helps the student.
Right.
But how do we make sure that they're receiving the same treatment from their administrator that they're expecting, the administrator's expecting them to implement with their students? It's like a trickle thing down thing. You can't ask me to do something if you're not willing to do it yourself.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And it's bottom up for the decision piece that embark on this journey. Your principles in a perfect world and how it should work is, your principles are your biggest cheerleader for this. They are not the ones who are supposed to tell you this, that, and the other. They empower the leadership team, the lighthouse team made up of those 8 or 10 persons. And that group, they figure out how to bring leadership to the environment and to these kids and carry it. They're usually made up of your speedboats or your team leaders and your PLCs. And they're usually those types of persons who are on that committee. And so they then leave that committee and drive it out to their respective teams that they are in charge of, so to speak. The principals, like I say, they support this. They empower their teachers. They give them they say, here's the budget. They let them roll with it. That's the hardest thing in this whole process, I think, is giving away control. In order to empower you as a leader, I have to give up control. And so that's why the 7 Habits principles, if they left their iPad at home and their phone at home, or at least turn it off and put it in their purse or in their bag or whatever, and really engage themselves in the training, they would have a completely different experience. I would dare say, because we live in this time when so many are multitasking. If they really submit themselves to this learning experience, a lot of those issues are rectified in that 3-day training, and trust is built on a level that you would have never thought possible. Laughing, crying, there's tears. I mean, it's an intense.
And you've got your coaches. I mean, the coach is an integral part of this as they're coming in, because if I remember right, they have full license to basically come into the principal and say, these are the speed bumps. This is where you're, you know, we are, as we're going through, we're seeing gaps here, 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 and here. So if there is a coercive process by the principal, it's going to be very evident. That coach is going to be in a nice way and a
yes.
focused way, a way that has found it, you know, the foundation here. But
that.
it will be very clear, because Leader in Me cannot occur if that is happening on any level.
Right.
From teacher to child, from administrator to teacher.
Yeah. So the coach is going to be an integral part of that. So in your two schools, the coach is a lady named Janita Anderson. And there, I think, did you meet Janita? Mm-hmm. You did.
I did.
Met Janita. Okay. So at any time, if you're, I know being a board member myself, time is scarce. But Janita is someone that you should meet. Even if you popped into the school when she was there and you found out the time and day or whatever, you should kind of meet her. She has a presence about her that she will effectively communicate that and help get the school onto the right track.
And the other is that staff has got to be honest. If they're feeling that, mm-hmm. they need to be able to reflect that. And that's where that leadership team, that lighthouse team, is really important. Because if a teacher who's not on there is saying, hey, I'm not feeling the love here, that part of that is the problem solving.
Is that we're empowering you to do that. That's not how it is really right now. You know, it's not how you go about doing those things. But when we are thinking abundantly and we have the same end in mind, and we should have a trust. We should have a real circle of trust. We should be to a level after you have 7 times training where you can say what you need to say. You can bypass people in the hall and they wouldn't take it personal because they know you're headed to Q2 and you've got things you got to work on. They will understand where you're at. If this staff or particular persons in the staff didn't understand that piece or missed that piece, perhaps they were missing that day, or maybe they weren't as engaged, or maybe their mindset just doesn't allow them to figure it out because their paradigm is so different. Serving on the Board of Education, I had served with a person, their paradigm is completely different than mine. 180.
No, not on your board.
But I'm just saying, paradigm, completely different. Is the person wonderful and nice? I'm sure that person is wonderful and nice. But paradigm-wise, they just don't see it. So you have to work through those little things together. They need to work through their leadership team. And it should be easy. It shouldn't be work. It should just kind of flow. If it's all top-down driven, that's something that can definitely be addressed by the coach. But we are there, and we're not only there just once a year or 4 times a year. But you've got Jania's cell phone number, and we can make this happen. And Jania is local. You are in mind for a global, to bring people from around the world. We want to ensure that you have top quality. So we will do everything to help.
Jill Kerber, one thing, having been in the classroom for a long time, not elementary, but in high school, is that when I would have student teachers, you know, you talk about expectations that they need to learn how to be a student, that, you know, behavior skills, social skills, whatever, and that you are the change agent in the classroom, and that if it goes badly or if it goes well, you know, you need to look at what you're doing and all of that. Otherwise, what happens is so many teachers come to school every day and they just pray to God, please let the kids behave, okay? And when I watch this program, it's like your teaching becomes, your content, whatever you're doing, becomes so much easier when you have kids who have social skills, who take responsibility, who want to win-win, who, like you say, the discipline problems that go away, the curriculum, the academic problems that go away when kids are tracking themselves and you're not doing it all. When you go from 700 to 40, and otherwise, it's like you go to school and you just say, oh, I still know teachers. Oh, please, God, the kids are really good today. And you say, oh, yeah, I don't know why. I don't know what was wrong. They were just so good today. Well, if you don't know why they're good or why they're bad, then you're just, that's what you do for your whole career. And that's a terrible way to teach. Can't imagine.
Yeah.
This just seems so,
well,
makes it easier.
For themselves, more responsible for themselves. And people ask me, so what if you put a mirror in the hall? This principal was like, if I put a mirror in the hall, it's going to cost money and it'll just be broken the first week or it'll have smudges all over. I'm like, no, it won't. But if you're worried about that today, do it in 3 months from now. Put it up in 3 months. But these kids, they will say to themselves, leaders don't do that. And it'll be kind of like foreign. They'll say,
or they let their friend know,
leaders,
you did that, and leaders don't do that.
They'll communicate it. And that's what's happened. So question number two.
My biggest fear is that we are training all these amazing leaders, but we don't have anything implemented for secondary.
Right.
So how do you go forward with secondary? Because you hate to, you know, in a couple of years, that's what's going to happen.
Right. So, let's see. I knew you were going to ask that question. Let me grab it out of my bag. Okay. So, these kinds of things, we already are in junior high, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, 9th grade's rolling out in September of this year. And in our high schools, we have 7 habits of highly effective teens. So it bridges across. These are student journals and what teachers can use to help drive another opportunity to drive leadership into their instruction. But it does go all the way through to 12th grade. And so the importance here is exactly what you said, the time frame. Boy, we have got some great leaders coming up right now at Bridger and Hillcrest. And what are we going to do? Well, we need to have these talks with the principal of the middle schools and start getting them to do that pre-work now. So, you know, in 2 years from now, we can roll the LEAD series up through junior high. So in the elementary, it'll be called LEADs. The early junior high is LEAD. And in high school, it's leadership. And so we do have a model that goes all the way through. It is all about the principal, your school community council, your PTA, parent involvement, and your teachers' willingness to have a passionate commitment to bring this to their school. If your elementaries do it and your junior highs don't, I have that scenario. I do. I have a tremendous lighthouse school in Phoenix that they've been doing this for 5 years, and they're just amazing. But the junior high right next door will not do it. The principal just says, we're not interested, and there's nothing you can do. So as a Board of Education, when I have the opportunity to talk to that principal, I, in Jordan School District at least, I don't really have an opportunity to do so because of I work for Covey. But when I go to these other school districts, I take that opportunity with those junior high principals, and I try to dive in. Why do you not want to do this? I don't understand, and let them tell me. It's paradigm. It's usually along money, and they aren't willing to sit and look at it from a different direction. It's usually what I've found. So that's where you can.
How does that correlate with what was once known as UBI, but now it's.
It was ABC.
ABC, UBI, the Utah Behavior Initiative. Does it work? Do you think it would work in a secondary education? Would it work? Would this work hand in hand, or would it take the place of that? A positive behavior model is pretty much what it is.
Right. So a lot of things that are instituted, like a positive behavior model, they have a lot of great pieces associated with them. But what they miss are the self-motivating intrinsic piece. And so this is a good complement to lots of different processes around the nation. So it'll go together. So
it's more of a complementary process
It will work together over time. Yes, that will fade away and this will become what you do. But they would work hand in hand to provide that compensation piece.
Oh. That's interesting.
How do children who transfer into a district who come from another place, do they get easily integrated into the system?
Yes.
Okay.
So schools that have new people come, they probably already have a team of kids who are, their job or their leadership role is to a welcoming role. So they actually take the kids around, they give them a tour of the campus, what we do here, they explain it, they share the 7 habits with the kids, and it is not very long. Within a week or two, these kids pick it up like that, pre-6. They pick it up like that. I imagine it's the same in middle school, but I don't have the same amount of experience in middle school to tell you that. But I think it would be the same. And so they start to understand it. And if they are the kids who have problems in their past school, Coral Cliffs is a great example because I have those personal stories there. Other schools, Amy Wilcox, the principal of Coral Cliffs, says, you know what, let your troubled kid come to my school. That's fine, we'll take him. We'll take the kid nobody wants. And they bring that kid into that environment. And if it's the kid who pulled the fire extinguisher or, you know, anything else, quickly learns that's not who we are, that's not what we do here. And they conform right into because everybody is doing the exact same thing. Everybody is a leader. Everybody makes good choices. And they see how their good choice connects to everything that's happening in the whole school. So they've had tremendous success down there.
Thank you.
So what can we do? The Board of Education.
The Board of Board of Education can maybe in your newsletter say that you are so proud of these schools that have implemented Leader in Me, can't wait to come to Leadership Day, and you know, you want to help in any way possible that you can, and you're a big supporter of that.
The one thing that we all have to be careful on, because it's the antithesis of what this is to say, we are just going to be this, everyone is going to do it. We will mandate it.
We don't want to do that.
What
we just want to support.
What you are saying, Corbin, is to finding out why. Those just questions as you go to schools that have chosen not to, just listening and understanding, seeking to understand is a critical component. And then we will continue to provide opportunities for schools to see what are the opportunities that they can have. Right now we have 3 out of the 6 elementary schools. The other 3 have seen it, have not at this point determined that that's the direction they want to go, though they have all been very complimentary on the process. I think that it would be worth a discussion as we are looking at the secondary. This is new. I mean, the materials, that's kind of new embark in terms of where you've been with Leader in Me for the elementary. That's been very, very solid. This is kind of a new process. And so it's not, we've not had the dialogues yet on the secondary, but this is an opportunity for us to start those conversations now. They are now getting, Mount Logan will be getting this year some very strong leaders from their 5th into the 6th. One of the things from some of the leaders at Bridger said, they asked me who the principal was, because they wanted to go in and see Dr. Monson and explain to them what they did in 5th grade and ask him what he can do for them as an extension. How better can we do?
And they did it themselves.
Yes.
That's incredible.
So we will see now that we will have more and more transition and things over the next 3 to 5 years, as we look, you will see different discussions occurring. And I believe that we will get to the point, and I know that those members of the Covey Foundation would really like to have a lighthouse district. I mean, they're hoping that a district, but again, that they know that the process has got to be followed. If we don't follow the process, it will not
work.
It won't work. It can't be a mandate from you, can't be a mandate from me, but we can provide the opportunities so people can understand it and see the positive things that they can do. We were very fortunate. The training this summer was primarily done for our administrators through the foundation. We did not have to pay for that. We did a small cash, and Logan split the cost of the room and some things like that. It was very, we really appreciate it, but it was very late. By the time we knew about it, it was almost to the end, first part of June, and it was done at the end of June. So we're hoping that we can, at both districts, provide, not all administrators from both districts are able to go, to provide a second possible opportunity throughout this year so that we get more. Again, a lot of them, many have had gone through initial training, but it's been a while, and the training has changed. And it's a lot more in depth, and so I think that as we get more people trained and understanding it, that the conversations will be starting to occur. The middle school was out. They were at a conference that they had already planned on back at that same week. It was out of state, and the high school had 3 different things that were going on that they were not able to change their
stuff.
So elementary was able to go, but
so we
will continue.
The other thing too is if you as a group decide this is something that you would want to embark upon, to learn the Covey training, we have different solutions, and that's not uncommon for boards of education to execute that. You have a retreat or something, and you have these 2 days where you learn how to work closer together, build more trust, and become more effective in your personal, but then also your life on the board and your professional life. So that's something you can think about. The support of your schools is tremendous. Always talking to them, seeing what they're doing, and I would say attending their leadership day. They're going to have one this year, and if you could be there on their leadership day, that is a tremendous support. during the legislature, I'll be happy to, but I'm sure the principals will too, get you information. And if you wanted to come up and see what was happening there on those days too, that'd be great. So just good support. Krista, did you have question number three?
I think that was it.
Okay.
What we can do to support. And I knew that we couldn't, you know, mandate them to do that. That would be out of our realm. But I certainly, you know, want to be the best support that we can.
Yeah.
To those who, I mean, to those who have chosen to participate and to those who haven't chosen to participate. So.
Yeah. We'll lift them all up. We'll just lift everybody up.
There you go.
And then over time, if this proves out to be their best choice, then they'll come on board. Like, it could be 2 years, it could be 10 years. No rush, go slow, go fast, let's do it right or not do it.
I really like the way you present. The only thing I would suggest is that when you, that you make that little boy dancing be you.
Well, I don't, I mean, Mike could get away with that.
It's like the second thing.
Oh, yeah, that is funny. Thank you. Thank you. It sure was a pleasure.
I like the, I mean, the personal touch, and we all, you know, any, everybody knows kids, you know, that get in big trouble. And, but when you don't even know why, where you are, why you're there, where you're going, why you're not going, you don't even know where you're aiming for or whatever, it's really hard. And, but it just such a nice presentation. I mean, it's a feel good, but it's not a BS.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I like the way you said that. Thank you. And that BS, that's me.
True, that's nice.
She went.
That's Corbin.
Yeah.
We just want the promise that you'll, there will be times in the year you won't want to be down in St. George, and any of those times, you know that you're more than welcome to be up here.
I will be here, even in snowstorms.
See, you could come up. You could come up here and have your children up at Bridger and help us make that transition.
There you go.
But you would have to like, you have to like the snow. I know.
Isn't that Sunday over at Wilson?
Uh huh.
Yeah. Again, you have such amazing principals. I mean, I know every school district says they have amazing principals, and
we have our
big group of them down there in Jordan. But whoa, Sunday is just like amazing. You know, just a ball of fire. And
well, and that came from a book study that they started in January.
All that pre-work. And Eric, steadfast, resolved, strong.
It's very much.
You know, he's very clear-minded. And Jed, he's reserved and also just so extroverted and works with those kids so well. So thank you again for the opportunity to be here.
And they have new
posters.
I do.
And they have new posters at Bridger.
I just want your autograph in my book, please.
Oh, you got it. It won't be the first time.
You want for the second edition. You don't want that.
Yeah, we want the second edition.
One in the second edition.
So but
first editions
Sean
are always worth more than second edition.
Sean, like,
first editions are worth more.
If you hold it for 25
years. Yeah, but I don't think it's the first printing of the first edition.
Oh, no.
It's not. It's like...
But I can definitely get Sean to sign your book for it, too.
Thank you, Corbin. We appreciate you coming and spending time with us today. We have been anxious to hear what the program's all about and to really get on board and understand and know that our schools really do need our support in whatever capacity that is. So we wish you the very best as you move to St. George, but we'll miss you at our rubbing shoulders at all of our school board retreats and meetings and stuff. I'm sure you'll still be there in an official capacity, but not as a member of the board. So,
and one of the things you may want to think about as you're transitioning with the new superintendent next year is perhaps next June
maybe you'll apply
incorporating this for some of your training. It'd be great for you to work with your new new superintendent.
That's a fantastic idea. Thank you, Marshall. Anyway, any more questions for Corbin? All right. Once again, we appreciate you and thank you very much. And good luck in your own board meeting. You'll probably still be home before us.
Probably. And I will be up here a lot. And I will not be.
Okay.
Are you still going to work at St. George? Okay. All right. Perfect. And just so you know, Lynn had another appointment that he had to attend. That's why he had to pop out a little early. So
it wasn't a family.
He'll be back, but he, anyway, something that he couldn't change. So we just roll with the flow here. Oh, well, thank you. How nice.
Thank you.
And then
perfect. Thank you so much.
This is mine.
We both go sequin
wins. No, this is mine. You can have yours.
All right. Are we good with Corbin? Do you all want to say anything else to Corbin?
Thank you, Corbin.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In my office, just go in, grab whatever you need to grab. And do you need a pop or anything on the way out?
In the fridge.
Or are you good? No. Okay. Thank you.
He ate his chicken nuggets in like 3 minutes and came on back. Thank you very much for changing your lunch schedule to meet with us. I'm like, call him back right now and tell him to get over here. We'll just have him come right this minute. So we appreciate that. All right. And board members, I think I forgot to, even though it's over now, to ask that we would amend our agenda for today. So
and
we'll go retroactive and to amend the agenda, which would be that we would have Corbin start at 1:20, and now we'll go back into executive session until we get finished with that, and then we will start at 4:00 with Annette and Ellen on observer tab.
I would so move.
Okay, motion. Motion's been made by Ann, seconded by Connie. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
That requires a 75% vote for changing the
right, so we're going to go back into Marshall's office, finish our executive session, have snacks, and then meet back here at 4:00.
Just so you know what this is in front of you, this will be made into a 3x4. This will be plexiglass put into each of our schools. So they're in the process of doing them right now, but we thought you'd like to have a mock-up of it.